The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. No litmus test. Most of us have probably heard of a litmus test. The term comes from what they call litmus paper. It's a liquid. You can dip it, rather, into a liquid, and it will turn a color. And by that color, you can find out whether the liquid is acid or base. If you didn't remember that from high school, there it is. But the thing is, these days, most of us recognize the term in a different arena. It is used metaphorically when news analysts are talking about politics. It refers to the fact that some voters decide whether they are for or against a candidate or a party almost solely on that candidate's or party's position on one single issue, whatever it may be, and it's changed over the decades. Now, in Jesus' day and time, one litmus test on the purely social interactive level was whether you followed the temple establishment and the Pharisees' version of the Hebrew religion. Samaritans did not pass the litmus test. Their religion, although monotheistic and based on Moses and the Mosaic law, was considered too impure and heretical to pass the test. So just being a Samaritan meant you failed the litmus test. Gentile pagans, we were not left out, Gentile pagans also failed the litmus test. One group of Gentiles called God-fearers sort of passed the test, but they were in a gray area. Now, in our gospel reading for today, Jesus is passing through a region that is full of Samaritans and Gentiles. That's the context for this incident. 10 men with leprosy approach Jesus. Now, in those days, there were a number of skin conditions that we would not call leprosy, but which people in Jesus' time did. In any event, any of these skin conditions, by any name, would have made them unclean in religious terms. So you couldn't go and worship in the temple. And outcasts in social terms. These so-called lepers were made to wear clothes that were torn so as to be easily recognizable and noticeable. They had to cry unclean, unclean, as they moved about. And they had to stay a certain distance away from ordinary people. And that's why it says they approached Jesus, keeping their distance. Imagine being treated this way because you had eczema. Right off the bat, these are people who don't pass the litmus test. They are outcasts, pure and simple. And right off the bat, Jesus wipes out the litmus test, wipes out their uncleanness, and accepts them. All they do is ask them to heal them, ask him to heal them, and apparently without his doing anything, as they go to carry out his command to show themselves to the priests, they are healed. Now, apparently, stick to my script here. Now, one of them, and only one, realizing that he had been healed, has been made clean, turns back and thanks Jesus. And Jesus doesn't miss this. And there's another whole sermon in there, but I'm only going to preach one today so you can relax. He remarks on it with a little sarcastic humor. Jesus seems to be saying, I seem to remember seeing 10 asking me to heal them, and yet I see only one coming back to show his gratitude. It's sarcasm, and sarcasm is a form of humor, and I believe Jesus had a sense of humor. But in any case, that one person who turned back is someone who, for most people of that time and place, even if he was now clean of leprosy, would have failed the litmus test anyway, because he was a Samaritan, an outcast, who even if no longer a leper, was still unclean anyway. And yet for Jesus, he passes the litmus test. Jesus accepts him. Jesus doesn't have a litmus test. We shouldn't be surprised because we know the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus doesn't unheal the other 9. He doesn't blame them for their lack of gratitude. He gives them a pass, accepts even them, even though he doesn't approve of their attitude of ingratitude. Jesus' love doesn't seem to depend on a litmus test about our actions, our attitudes, our beliefs, or anything else in order to love and accept us. The only thing that seems to matter to him is that we are children of God. If you sometimes think that you fail the litmus test in the eyes of God, think again. Now, let's double down on that. Naaman, the Aramean in our first reading, was treated in the same way by God. He too had a skin disease, again called leprosy, again was probably not, and he too was healed, this time by the prophet Elisha, even though he came from another religion where they worshipped a false god, an idol, Rimmon. And Elisha, speaking for God, even allows this foreigner to go home and commit idolatry. He allows him to go home and publicly worship this false god, since his livelihood, and probably his life, depended on it. God's love, that seems to be telling us, does not depend on culture. It is not shut off, even if we belong to the wrong faith, especially if we're raised in another faith. This story is telling us that our politics, our culture, and even our religion are not a litmus test for God to love and accept us. Now, we have to be careful here. This is important. The story is not telling us Christianity doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Christianity says, because that's not true. It's the good news, and it's the basis on which we're saying all this about God's love and acceptance. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's not telling us that, but it is telling us that we may not use any of these factors that we've mentioned as a litmus test for whether we are loved or for whether we should love and accept anyone else. This is a far cry from how so many people in our country today are acting and thinking. Both those who see immigrants as a problem, people to be rounded up and thrown out, and those who see the people concerned about the problem, the immigrant problem, as Samaritans beyond the pale. Condemnation is coming down on both houses. It's cutting every which way. So that is the gospel, and it does matter. And here is the mission which is part of the gospel, namely, that we are to be imitators of Christ. There's an ancient story, probably from the rabbinical tradition, that says that one day Abraham was sitting by his tent in the evening after the heat of the day, when he looked up and saw a weary traveler, an old man of about 80, coming along the road. So Abraham gets up and rushes to greet the weary old traveler in obedience to the ancient laws of hospitality. He invites him into his tents, washes his feet, sets before him food and drink, and the old man sits down and begins to eat without saying any prayer or blessing. "Whoa," says Abraham, "don't you worship and give thanks to God?" The old man answers, "I worship fire only and give reverence to no other God." Now that may seem like a random off-the-cuff response, but in fact, fire worship was not uncommon in the ancient world. People with that religious tradition would consider fire to be the presence of God, or at least a manifestation of God, or even more at least, a symbol of God. Even today, the Zoroastrians, as they were called, and as they are now called Parsis, are practitioners of that original religion of Iran. Zubin Mehta, the famous conductor, is a member of that faith. But when the old man says that it's his faith, Abraham picks him up and throws him out into the night. Now, after this little set to, and it's almost like the scene in the Garden of Eden where naively God seems to come down and say, "Where'd you get those clothes? Why are you wearing them?" We have another scene of that sort of thing where God comes and says, "Where's the stranger? Didn't I see a stranger come by your place here?" And Abraham replies, "I forced him out because he does not worship you." And God says, "I have put up with him for 80 years, and you couldn't put up with him for one night?" And there again is a message to both sides of the divide in this country today. I don't have to tell you that it's hard to practice the gospel, but it is the gospel to which we have to keep aspiring. To put it in a nutshell, we sometimes think we are not worthy of God's love, that there is some litmus test or other that we do not pass. And equally bad, we often impose a litmus test on other people to decide whether they are worthy of our love and acceptance. But the truth is, God accepts much more than we do. And we are to be imitators of God in Christ. No litmus tests. It is a goal at which to aim, and also an assurance to be embraced. God does not use litmus tests. Neither should we. Thank God, because God accepts us, even though most of us probably do fail one litmus test or another. I fail several. But to quote 2 Timothy, the word of God is not chained. If we are faithless, God is faithful. For God cannot deny God's own self. Thanks be to God. Amen.